This morning, I was on my computer and I was looking at the No Hope page, just seeing what's up this weekend on campus. And I really noticed, gosh, there's not much going on this weekend. Tomorrow night, there's a men's soccer game against Albion, 7 o'clock tomorrow night. And at the Nick, I think the Great Performance Series is going on. But other than that, not much going on this weekend. Drops, Joey Droppers, you guys, football's not playing this week. Got a bye week, okay. Lindsey Berry, soccer, women's soccer, no game this week, okay. Men's golf, Colin. You guys, you're not here on campus, okay? Women's golf, not here. Volleyball, not much going on this weekend on campus. There is one other thing. Tomorrow, about 3 o'clock near the river, I think there's something going on, isn't there? Yeah. All right. I think it's called The Pull at 3 o'clock tomorrow. Odd year 1-7 is going to go against even year 1-8 for the 117th time The Pull is going on. 3 o'clock tomorrow. Okay, so here's the deal with me. I got a little dilemma. Who do I root for as the chaplain? Who do I root for? I mean, hold it. Hey, let me work it out. So I'm a 1982 Hope College grad. That's even, which means I should root for them. But my wife, Melody, who I am loyal to, 1983 grad, should be odd year. So what am I supposed to do? What do I do? No. I got it, man. Hey, I'm the chaplain. I know what's going on. So, baby, here's what's going on. Yeah. I got it figured out. I'm rooting for both teams tomorrow. Hey, and I really do. I hope for both of you guys, and I mean this. I hope for both teams that when you get out of the pit tomorrow, when you get off the rope tomorrow, win or lose, I hope you can say to yourself, deep in your soul, that you gave it your best shot. If you've done that, it's been a good year. So, Pull tomorrow, 3 o'clock. The Pull is a great competition. It really is. I've witnessed many polls, but I've had people over the years say to me, and they try to describe the poll, saying, "Boris, the poll is—it's like a battle. It's a war." They try to describe it that way. And though the poll is very intense, no question about it, it's not a battle. It's not a war, because in battle and in war, people die, and lives get destroyed. So really, pull isn't a battle or a war. But the Bible talks about, and it talks about it clearly, stating that there is a battle, there is a war, there is a conflict going on right now between two kingdoms, and we're in it. The Bible describes the two kingdoms as the kingdom of light, ruled by Jesus, and the kingdom of darkness, ruled by the devil or by Satan, and that these two kingdoms are violently opposed to one another. And their mission is the same. Their mission is to ultimately destroy the other kingdom and anyone or anything that is connected with that kingdom. I'll show you. In fact, we don't have enough time, so I'm just going to read the two scriptures that I'll show and prove this to you. 1 Peter 5:8 says this: "Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour." The picture here is of a lion hunting, trapping, killing, consuming. And that's the devil's objective: to trap and to destroy. But if you flip the pages over a couple more, you go to 1 John 3:8. And the Apostle John says this: "The Son of God, Jesus, was revealed for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil." Now, that word in the Greek in this text is a military term, and it means to crush, to demolish, to put to death. And that's Jesus' goal as well. A primary reason why Jesus came is to destroy the works of the devil. Now, throughout this semester on five different Fridays, we've been focusing on the person of Jesus. And by doing that, we've been asking the question, why did Jesus have to come? And we've acknowledged already in two chapels, he came to set us free from our sin, but he also came to give us life and life abundantly. Remember John Brown, Zoe. But today I want us to focus on that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Now, before we even look at it even further, let's just stop a minute. Let's just be honest. Some of you here in chapel are going, oh my gosh, Boersma's talking about the devil. I mean, you know, that's not everyday conversation most of us have. Hey, how you doing with the devil this week? You know, I mean, that's not common stuff that we do. But for us to understand how the devil functions and how he works, we need to talk about it. And what happens because we don't talk about the devil a lot is that we fall in one of two categories, and both of them are in error. We either take the devil way too seriously and give him way too much credit, or we don't take him serious enough. Meaning one extreme is to say everything is of the devil. And the other extreme is to say the devil doesn't even exist. And both views are to be spiritually naive. The Bible and the church, the historic Christian church, and even my own personal experiences affirm that we have to have a measured and discerning understanding of the devil and how he works. So that being said, who and what do we need to know about the devil and how he works? Let me just say two things really quickly because time is moving. Here's the first thing you need to know about the devil, that the devil is a defeated foe. Let me say it again. The devil is a defeated foe. After Christ's death and resurrection, the spiritual conflict took on a whole different nature. It shifted. The power of the devil was taken away. I like to say that after Jesus' death and resurrection, the devil was neutered. I like that. He was neutered. That's the first thing we got to know about the devil, that the devil is a defeated foe because of Christ's death and resurrection and ascension and reign. Here's the second thing, that the only power that the devil has over us is what we give him. Let me say it again. The only power that the devil has over us is what we give him. And this is how the devil works. He works through deception and of the lie. The Bible calls the devil the father of lies. And so the only power that the devil has is by lying to us certain things and for us to take those lies and believe that they're true, which then gain power or control over us. Are you tracking with me? Does that make sense? You got it. We know those lies that the devil spins over and over in our heads. We all got them. I'll give you a few. Here you go. How about this one? Devil spins this one a lot. You are such a hypocrite. If people really knew who you were, they wouldn't want to hang with you at all. Or how about this one? You will never be beautiful enough for someone to love and even think about marrying. How about this one? God can't forgive you of your past sin. It is too dirty. It is too ugly. It is too disgusting. Or how about this one? No one wants to be your friend. You are a loser. You are not funny enough. You're not smart enough. You're not interesting enough. You're not good enough. Here's one I've been hearing lately. All guys watch porn. It's only natural. Just get over it. How about this one? The only way you're going to be accepted is by going to parties and probably compromising yourself sexually. Or this one. It's not your fault that your parents divorced or that your mother's an alcoholic. Oh, no, no, no. It is your fault. Thank you. You are listening. It is your fault that your parents got a divorce or your mother's an alcoholic or that your friend died in the car accident. Couple more lies. God is disappointed in you. you're not spiritual enough. Don't trust anybody. You know, you got your own lies spinning over and over in your head that the devil has been planting and wants you to believe, and in so believing has control over you. So how do you deal with it? I'm going to be really quick. The only way to deal with the lies of the devil is to expose it with the truth. So when you hear the lie can only be exposed, the power can only be diminished by putting the truth up against it. And the truth comes from God's word. And if you don't know God's word that well, find somebody who does or has a little more experience and ask them, because the power that the devil has is in the lie. And once the lie is exposed, the power is exposed. I like to think of Satan's lies like a cockroach. Cockroaches. In the dark, they can be a little scary. At least for Borsma, they can. They mess with you. But once you turn on a light, the cockroaches vanish, and any fear is diminished as well, too. Oh, my gosh, 10:52. So here's your closing thing. So what do we do? How do we deal with the works of the devil? How do we deal with the lies? Here's three things real quick. Number one, we just said it. Replace the lie with the truth. Second thing, learn to identify the voice of God over the voice of the accuser, the devil. And here's how you can do that. If the voice is condemning you and accusing you and leading you farther away from God, don't listen to it. But if the voice is convicting you, lovingly convicting you of your sin and leading you back to God, follow that voice all day long. And here's the last thing. This is the great thing. God has given you the authority and the power to deal with the devil. So believe it and exercise it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, go in peace.